now. Live from the historic parsonage of 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania. It's Iron Sharpens Iron, a radio platform on which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs 27, verse 17 tells us, "Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." Matthew Henry said that in this passage, quote, "We are cautioned to take heed whom we converse with, and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better." It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next hour, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. Now here's our host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at IronSharpensIronRadio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Friday on this first day of June 2018. And boy, I am so grateful to God that I went to the Banner of Truth U.S. Ministers Conference, which just came to a conclusion yesterday. It started on Tuesday, the 29th of May, and concluded on the 31st of May yesterday. And I am just totally amazed I was just interrupted by a text from the studio in Dublin, California, that's airing the show. They just wanted to let me know everything's working fine. Okay. But I was amazed at how many people, as compared to last year when I was at the Banner of Truth, how many people came up to me very excitedly and enthusiastically raving about how much they love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. People that I had never met or heard from before, people who have never emailed in questions for the guests, with the exception of a few, just totally blew me away. It really made my year, knowing how many people are out there, especially in the audiences of a ministry like Banner of Truth, or should I say, how would you phrase it? I guess you could say audiences, since they have conferences, but also their readership, obviously, since they have not only... since they are most well known for publishing the finest in Reformed literature, but also they do have a magazine as well. But I was just totally blown away. I can't even think of words to adequately describe how the Lord blessed me. That happens a lot at other Reformed conferences, but last year, for some reason, when I went to the Banner of Truth, there was only a tiny handful of people that greeted me, said they listened to the program. This time, there were every day about 15 or more people that came up to me to rave about the show. And I just was blown away. And one person in particular that really blessed me, I was sitting down in the cafeteria to have lunch. There was already seated there an Indian gentleman who I'd never before met. And he looked at my name tag, looked up at me, and said, "I listen to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in India. I am a Reformed Baptist pastor. Samuel Bopuri is my name. I've sent you questions." And now I hope that Pastor Samuel Bopuri, who is the pastor of the Reformed Baptist Church of Vinukonda in India, and I hope I didn't mispronounce that, but I hope that we have begun a friendship that will last a very long time. I hope he's listening today, actually, to Iron Sharpens Iron. But enough of that for now, anyway. One more thing about that. I'm so delighted that not only did the president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, who I've had the privilege of interviewing once before on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, not only did he tell me that he would be delighted to be interviewed once again on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and he assured me that he would be very enthusiastic to accept another invitation, And, of course, I am speaking about the one and only Dr. Al Mohler, but also Alistair Begg, who I have not interviewed in years. I interviewed him once on the old show, and he also reassured me that he would love to come on the show. So pray that those two interviews develop very quickly before they both forget they ever saw me. But anyway, now to move on to the subject at hand today, I am so delighted to have as my guest again on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio somebody who has quickly grown to be a very dear friend of mine, somebody who actually texts me a good morning message every single day, 7 days a week, and I'm not even exaggerating. Jeffrey C. Waddington, who is stated supply of Knox Orthodox Presbyterian Church of Lansdowne, Pennsylvania. He's also the secretary of the board of the Reformed Forum. He's a panelist at Christ the Center and East of Eden, and he is the articles editor for the Confessional Presbyterian Journal. And today we are going to be addressing a book that he has written and also an encyclopedia that he has contributed to. We are going to be addressing during the first hour The Unified Operations of the Human Soul, Jonathan Edwards' Theological Anthropology and Apologetic. And then in the second hour, we'll be discussing the Jonathan Edwards Encyclopedia. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Pastor Jeffrey C. Waddington.
Oh, brother, it's my privilege to be here, and I'm glad you brought up the banner because I was going to ask you how that had gone. I had at least two friends who were there, so I was getting some feedback, and I did watch a little bit of the live streaming of that event. Caught David Strain on the one slot in which he was speaking. Loved that Scottish accent.
Yes, I had the pleasure of meeting him and getting my photo taken with him. And
I saw that.
I hope to have him back.
Yes, he's perhaps you've heard Carl Truman say that he could prepare 10% less for his sermons on Sunday simply because he had an English accent. in America, right? In America, because we love the accent, and that is really true. But I'm glad that the conference went well, and I was going to say, Chris, just as an addendum to your comment about the brother from India, is that this your friendship that you now are aware of, that this gentleman brother is listening to Iron Sharpens Iron, that's going to go on into eternity. It's not just a long time here, but you'll be able to cast your crown at the feet of our Lord in the new heavens and the new earth. So that's a beautiful thing, to get it started here and now.
Amen.
The book that we're going to talk about, The Unified Operations of the Human Soul, which is, of course, a very sleek, short title. It basically was my dissertation, PhD dissertation at Westminster Theological Seminary, which I submitted and graduated from that program in 2013. And the book was published in 2015. And here we are in 2018. So that's 5 and 3 years back. So hopefully I will remember some of what I wrote in the book. you laugh, but as I'm getting on in years, I find myself more forgetful than I like to be.
Yeah, that's very comforting because I think you're younger than me, aren't you?
I'm 53.
Yeah, you are. You're 3 years younger than me. So thank you for the insult. But anyway, before we go on,
oh, you're welcome, bro.
Before we go on to the book, tell our listeners, those who have not heard you before on this program, and by the way, I'm amazed to learn that you are somewhat of a celebrity amongst Reformed people. I'm amazed how many people know who you are and are blessed by your work. I think it's especially because of the Reformed Forum. I would say that at least three quarters of the Reformed people who I mention your name to say, "Oh yes, Jeff Waddington, the Reformed Forum. Great, you have Jeff Waddington on your show. Wow!" I'm like really taken aback by that. Before we go on to that, since we do have new listeners that seem to be joining us every day, tell our listeners about Knox Orthodox Presbyterian Church of Lansdowne, Pennsylvania.
Sure. Knox OPC is an original congregation that came out of the PCUSA, the Mainline Presbyterian Church, around 1936, when the OPC, then the original PCA, was formed. Many of our your listeners, no doubt, would be familiar with the whole modernist fundamentalist controversy of the 1920s and prior to that, and the whole situation at Old Princeton Seminary. And the congregation comes out of that. It's a unique congregation within the OPC, exclusive psalm singing, et cetera. So it is also the congregation that Professor John Murray, hint, Banner of Truth. Professor Murray was when he was not preaching elsewhere, he would attend the worship at Knox. He was of course Scottish, and so he was an exclusive psalm singer him, or nearly so himself. So this was his home base when in the Philadelphia area.
Now, did he go there because Knox Orthodox Presbyterian Church, unlike most OPC congregations, was already exclusive psalmody and exclusive a cappella, or did the church develop that view just to accommodate Dr.
No, it was another pastor who introduced, so it wasn't exclusive psalm singing and non-instrumentation at the beginning. It became that at some point after leaving the mainline church and becoming a part of the OPC. And the congregation has not always been in Lansdowne, which is near Upper Darby. In fact, it's right next to Upper Darby and Yeadon. If anybody knows the suburbs and the communities around Philadelphia, we're right on the Blue Route. That's the 476 south going toward the 95. We're not far from the Philadelphia International Airport. And I've been there almost 6 years. It'll be 6 years in August that I've been the stated supply.
By the way, your denomination really has to come up with a better term. That is the most ridiculous term I've ever heard.
That's not unique to the OPC. That's standard Presbyterian. Sometimes you'll say regular supply. And what that means is I'm not periodic. I do all of the things that a pastor does, which is not necessarily expected of a stated supply, but I had told the congregation, the session, when they asked me to come on board, that I would want to do all those things, even though they weren't required by our Book of Church Order.
Well, it's still, I think it's a lousy term, and you got to change it anyway. I mean, you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of a commercial you might see at 2 o'clock in the morning. Stated supply, everything from lumber to licorice, half price.
Right, we're not a hardware store. I'm not a hardware store.
Well, I actually, when I was originally publicizing your interview, I had mistakenly put pastor there, and I said to myself, oh, I don't want to get any flack from the Presbyterians about this. I better put stated supply. And tell us about the Reformed Forum.
Well, the Reformed Forum has now been around 10 years. As of in January, it was our 10-year anniversary. We just had a board of directors summit in Grand Rapids where we met for 5 days, actually 4 days, to discuss the going forward in the future, you know, vision and so forth. Not vision in the sense of seeing things, but what we wanted under God's guidance do. And we had the privilege, I should say, of meeting at the Puritan Reformed Theological Seminary, where Dr. Joel Beakey is the president. Many thanks to Hank Klein, who is the plant operations manager there at the seminary. Had a beautiful room to do recordings. The Reformed Forum is basically an internet Christian education ministry. We do podcasts, some not unlike Iron Sharpens Iron. We do several different kinds of podcasts. We also have written blog posts, etc. And we now have a conference where this one, Lord willing, coming in the fall, will be our fourth annual Reform Forum conference, and that is typically held at our OPC church in Grays Lake, Illinois, just outside of Chicago.
Great. And by the way, Dr. Joel Beakey is a friend of mine. I've known him for quite a long time, even before Puritan Reform Theological Seminary existed. And in fact, I was one of the first people to get Dr. Beakey on the radio. When I first met him, he was still in the Netherlands Reformed denomination, and they prohibited the use of radio. quite a hyper-Calvinistic bunch of folks there. And they viewed using the radio to evangelize and spread the gospel as an Arminian thing. So thankfully, he left, and he and like-minded brethren formed their own denomination, the Heritage Reformed Congregation denomination. And it started out being called the Netherlands Heritage Reformed, but they dropped the Netherlands. At least most of the congregations dropped the Netherlands. I think he might have retained that. But anyway, he's a great brother in Christ. I always love to see and hear him preach. I love reading his books. And send my regards to him if you happen to
Well, see him. I will do that. His book, Assurance of Salvation, Assurance of Faith, I'm forgetting the exact title, was published by Banner of Truth. Again, that was the modified
version. Yes. The original one was Peter Lang Publishing.
Academic press where you pay $100+
exactly
for a book.
I know.
Which, by the way, is one of the reasons I went with the publisher I did, because the price is, you know, folk might think $25 or $35 is expensive, but for an academic title, that's actually pretty cheap.
Yeah. Tell us quickly about Christ the Center and East of Eden.
Sure. Christ the Center is the flagship podcast that the Reform Forum does. We fly at a rather high level academically. That's on purpose. And basically, it grew out of table talks that I had with colleagues of mine, Camden Busey and Jim Cassidy, who are both OP ministers and now ably amplified by Glenn Clary, among others, who are regular panelists on the program. I'm not on the program all the time. Scheduling doesn't always allow that. And it covers a whole host of theological and biblical topics. We have other programs, but that's our flagship. Every Friday for the last 10 years, there has been a new episode. We're in the 500s at this point. And you would relate to that, Chris, with the number of years you've been doing Iron Sharpens Iron. East of Eden is dedicated to the biblical and systematic theology of Jonathan Edwards. Now we haven't done a new episode for some time simply because of logistics, but we're praying that our schedules will free up at some point. And that's a program that I do with Nick Batzig, the Reverend Nick Batzig, who's pastor of New Covenant PCA in outside of Savannah, Georgia, and the Reverend Doctor, now Reverend Doctor, as of a week ago, the Reverend Doctor David Filson, who's also in the PCA. He's the pastor of something or other, discipleship or executive pastor at Christ Presbyterian Church in Nashville, Tennessee. That's a large congregation that also has a Christian school. Do you remember a couple of years ago there was a Christian school teacher who had severe illness, and the students went to his house, stood out in his yard, and sang to him?
No, I don't remember that.
It actually made the news.
Huh.
National news, like NBC, ABC, CBS, and CNN. That teacher was the teacher at the school that's operated or has a connection with Christ Presbyterian Church. But anyways, we all do the East of Eden, and that comes from the name of one of Edwards' sermons. Actually, it wasn't the name he gave it. It's the name that the editor of the Yale edition, Works of Edwards volume, gave to it. We are unique in that we are unique among Edwardsians in that we are Vantillians and Vossians and Gaffinians. So we've got a, when we come to Edwards, we come to Edwards with a certain perspective that will, is unique. Not that we purposely, you know, set out to do that, but it's who we are. And you can find those podcasts also on the Reform Forum website.
Great. We'll be announcing all of that before we go off the air with Pastor Jeff. But last but not least, in regard to your resume here, tell us about the Confessional Presbyterian Journal.
Confessional Presbyterian Journal is actually the type we've published stuff by articles. Stuff is not a very precise word. Material by Reformed Baptists, Continental Reform folks. So it's in fact, most recently, Richard Marcellus, who is a Reformed Baptist pastor out in California.
Yes, I've had Rich on the program. In fact, just very recently, I've had him on the program.
So he's been published at least once, maybe twice, in the pages of the Confessional Presbyterian Journal. And it's a once-a-year journal ranging, in, I guess, around 275 pages or so. So it's an academic or learned journal, but it's also got practical concerns in terms of the life of the Christian in the church. And very often we have a theme that the each issue is built around. Like we had one issue that was built around John Murray, one around B.B. Warfield. I think we had one on Machen, one on Calvin when we had the 500th anniversary of Calvin a few years back. And I guess the one thing that I've added to my resume is I'm an adjunct professor of systematic theology at Westminster Seminary in Glenside now.
So, oh yeah, I did forget to mention that. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I mean, I got off to an auspicious start by having my course on Edwards canceled.
Wow.
I didn't have enough students to. It was announced late. Normally they give a month or two of time for students to consider what they want, courses they want to take. So I'm hoping to offer it again. It's really based upon the book that we're talking about. I taught it in Taiwan a year ago. I was over in Taiwan at the China Reformed Theological Seminary in Taipei, and for 2 weeks taught there. Had a wonderful time, by the way, with brothers and sisters in the Lord. Had an opportunity to preach as well as to teach the course and also to deliver the graduation sermon to the seminary graduating class.
Great.
So that was exciting. Oh, and that's all by God's grace. I mean, I would never have guessed 30-plus years ago that I would have these opportunities.
Well, going back to the Confessional Presbyterian, that almost, not even almost, it does sound like a redundancy. It's almost like saying the Dunking Baptist. I'm guessing that the reason that title was chosen for this journal is because there is a view by those involved in the journal that although technically all Presbyterian denominations are confessional, I'm assuming the view would be that many are not actually adhering to it.
that would be putting it nicely. You're right. It is very redundant. But of course, you know that the mainline Presbyterian Church departed from the confessional standard of the Westminster Confession and Larger and Shorter Catechism many, many years ago, and made it official in 1967 when they, I guess, turned the confession into the equivalent of a painting on the wall in a museum. I think that's I read that somewhere that's how they. What they did with all the confessions and going back to the Apostles' Creed, they basically turned them into museum pieces.
Yeah, because obviously I mean, there is a remnant of faithful men in the PCUSA, even in the pastorate, but you could hardly say that the denomination at large is at all faithful to the confession. In fact, you know, you even have apostasy in that denomination as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I mean, remember, I'm OPC, so I'm going to take a hard line on the PCUSA. Anyways, the journal, it may be another way of saying is that, and we mean it, you know, confessional right. Presbyterianism, we mean it. So, we try to take those things seriously.
Yes.
Theological and biblical commitments.
Well, moving on to the book, The Unified Operations of the Human Soul, Jonathan Edwards, Theological Anthropology and Apologetic. Obviously, you were joking earlier when you talked about the brevity of the title.
Yes, I was.
This is your doctoral dissertation in print, and it makes sense when you see this theme or this title, because aren't doctoral dissertations purposefully supposed to be written on something that has not been done before, or at least
in the abstract or in the ideal sense, it's supposed to be original research, but you know, with Jonathan Edwards, it's gets pretty hard to say something that hasn't been said by someone somewhere at some point in the past. There are, as of 2005, there were 5,000, I think it was 5,000 pieces of secondary literature on Edwards. In other words, people writing about Edwards or some aspect of his theology. And that's now, I realize that's now 13 years ago, so that's that figure has probably multiplied not geometrically, if not astronomically.
By the way, a wise guy in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, who's a regular listener to our show, Ted, says, "Did you know that J. Gresham Machen once played canasta at Jeff's church?"
Well, I know. there are stories of Machen used to host students to play checkers in his room. I believe he did it all at Princeton, but also carried on the tradition when he established Westminster. And remember, when Machen was alive, Westminster was downtown, not far from 10th Presbyterian Church on 17th and Spruce in Philadelphia,
yes.
Center City, as we like to call it.
I remember that church well because that's where I went for a number of years to the Philadelphia Conference on
PCRT.
When the late Dr. James Montgomery Boyce was still there, and those are precious memories of cutting my teeth on the Reformed faith at those conferences.
You can actually find a beautiful marble plaque in the sanctuary dedicated to him. Back when Westminster was still located in that neck of the woods in Center City, it used to be the nickname for Westminster was Barnhouse Theological Seminary, because that's when, in the heyday of Donald Gray Barnhouse being the pastor at 10th. And of course, he was well known as not only as a world-renowned preacher, but also as a radio preacher in his own right, back in the 20s and 30s and 40s.
Amen. Well, we are going to go to our first break right now. If you'd like to join us on the air with a question for Jeffrey C. Waddington. By the way, I just want to get an update on how to properly introduce you. Are you a doctor yet?
I've been a doctor since 2013.
Oh, so I've been wrongly or insufficiently, inadequately introducing you ever since I met you then.
That's okay, brother. It's not a problem.
Okay. Well, Dr. Waddington, if you have a question for him, he will be returning after the break. And by the way, Dr. Waddington, I have to tell you that since you are on Skype, and that's one of the things, the only thing that's disappointing me about this interview is that you normally come into the studio here, and we have a nice time of fellowship, typically even over a meal before and after the show. So I am a bit saddened by the lack of your presence here. But just to let you know that if you are going to be speaking with anyone, if you're going to be flushing a toilet or anything like that during the station break, put your microphone on mute because it will be heard over the airwaves. I have no way, for some reason, unless somebody can show me in the studio equipment how to mute a Skype guest. I don't see any way.
I do know how to do that at my end, so don't have no fears.
All right, great. But if anybody would like to join us with a question of your own for Dr. Waddington, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Please give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside of the good old USA. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages with Dr. Jeffrey C. Waddington and our discussion on the unified operations of the human soul, Jonathan Edwards, Theological Anthropology and Apologetic.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, inviting you to tune in to A Visit to the Pastor's Study every Saturday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time on WLIE Radio, www.wlie540am.com. We bring biblically faithful pastoral ministry to you, and we invite you to visit the Pastor's Study by calling in with your questions. Our time will be lively, useful, and I assure you, never dull. Join us this Saturday at 12 noon Eastern Time for A Visit to the Pastor's Study, because everyone needs a pastor.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you just tuned us in, my guest today for the full 2 hours with about 90 minutes to go is Jeffrey C. Waddington, Dr. Jeffrey C. Waddington. We are discussing his book, The Unified Operations of the Human Soul, Jonathan Edwards, Theological Anthropology and Apologetic. And then we'll be moving on to announcing the Jonathan Edwards Encyclopedia, to which our guest contributed. If you'd like to join us on the air with questions of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And please give us your first name, your city and state, and your country residence if you live outside of the USA. And by the way, the voice you just heard, Pastor Bill Shishko, formerly the pastor of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church of Franklin Square in New York, now retired and operating Reformation Metro New York, a parachurch organization under the headship of the Orthodox Presbyterian denomination. And host of A Visit to the Pastor's Study, which I hope you all are listening to, or at least will begin to, this Saturday, tomorrow, from 12 noon Eastern Time to 1 p.m. Eastern Time on WLIE540AM.com, or in the New York Tri-State area, parts of Pennsylvania, Massachusetts, and Rhode Island on 540 at the AM or on the AM dial. But Pastor Bill Shishko is a mutual friend of my guest today, Dr. Jeffrey C. Waddington, and myself. And he is quite a dear brother in Christ, is he not, Dr. Waddington?
He is. And we not only know him, but he's a close friend of one of the members of my congregation, who used to be a member of the OPC work in Franklin Square.
Amen. Long Island. And he speaks very highly of you, Brother Jeff, and is delighted that I have been interviewing you. But let's move on now to this very interesting and unusual title. I feel like going through the title, just like John MacArthur exegetes a passage of Scripture by one, each word at a time. He'll spend at least a half hour on each word. Let's start with the. No, I'm only kidding. Unified operations of the human soul. That is an interesting phrase. So if you could, what is that?
Well, it's dealing with Edwards' concern that the human soul or personality or the heart, or the, if you want a more technical term, dispositional complex, our human, the center of our being, is created by God to operate in a unified fashion. That means the intellect or understanding, the will, and the emotions, that these operate together. And what I'm responding to, and what Edwards was responding to, was what is often referred to in the technical literature as faculty psychology. And faculty is simply means a power or a capacity of the human mind or the human soul.
Ah, I see. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, doesn't this then perhaps delve into Edwards' view of the human will,
yes,
prior to the fall, which actually there is some disagreement amongst Calvinists over his approach to this. Am I correct in assuming this?
Yes. Edwards, as you may know, is appreciated. I wouldn't call myself an Edwardsian. I'm an appreciator of Edwards in the way I think that the professors at Old Princeton would appreciate him. But on this point, I think Edwards is exactly right. And I understand that there, because it's a doctoral dissertation, there is someone I have to disagree with. and that person happens to be the Venerable John Gerstner.
Ah, yes, I love Dr. Gerstner, but he did have some unique views that were not shared even by someone who, now in glory with him, viewed Dr. Gerstner as his mentor. Dr. R.C. Sproul did not even agree with some of the things that our dear brother in Christ, now in glory, John Gerstner, believed, including the free offer of the gospel.
Yeah, it's... With regard to Dr. Gerstner, it's a very fine point. In other words, I say this in the book, that I'm not disagreeing with the, you know, I guess you would say the majority of what Dr. Gerstner did in his work with Edwards. I would be in the trenches with Dr. Gerstner in terms of the larger Edwards academic community. I remember, you know, talking with people who had comments to make about Dr. Gerstner, and I'm thinking, if only you knew what I thought, you'd be equally, you know, disturbed with my views. So the particular issue is in his book on classical apologetics, which he co-authored with R.C. Sproul and Art Lindsley, he talks about the fall affecting the intellect indirectly.
Yeah, they were opposed to presuppositionalism.
Yes.
But not now.
Now they
know better.
That's a cheap shot, right? That's a, everybody that we disagree with, when if they're believers, they're in glory and they know better. So the fine point is, what does it actually, what did he mean by indirect noetic effects of sin? And I challenge that, but that really is the occasion for my study, but it is not like I spend all my time dealing with Dr. Gerstner. He's kind of the excuse, to put it another way, of doing the research. It's what got me interested and sent me off on looking at the human soul, the heart. Biblically, and I think this is where Edwards was right, and this accounts for the subtitle. Jonathan Edwards, Theological Anthropology, is another way of saying Doctrine of Man. Okay. Mm-hmm. And apologetic would be defense of the faith. So if you need to translate that, you could say Jonathan Edwards' Doctrine of Man and his defense of the faith and how they relate. So I'm arguing that Edwards, and the other argument that I'm making against Gerstner is that Edwards is not the nice, clean, classical apologist that Dr. Gerstner portrayed him to be. If for no other reason, because he predates these distinctions that we now take for granted. Different schools of apologetics.
It's quite interesting that you would find, well, it just shows you that something that even Dr. Gerstner believed was true, that we are fallible, finite, and far from perfect on this earth, but it's amazing that a man, you would find disagreement with a man over Edwards when he immersed his life into the teaching and history and life and legacy of Jonathan Edwards. Next to the Bible, that is probably what he immersed himself into more than anything, and yet here you are disagreeing with the great Dr. Gerstner.
That may say more about me than him, Dr. Gerstner, understand, Dr. Gerstner himself, a student of Edwards, did not hold to Edwards' idealism, and if we need to, I can explain what that means.
Why don't you? But whenever you can, because it is kind of interesting how he is in many ways, Dr. Gerstner was in many ways very close to the theology of the Protestant Reform denomination, and that would seem to militate against Edwards in many points. But anyway, if you
could. What I was thinking of is Dr. Gerstner did his PhD work at Harvard in the 1940s. And Gerstner came up in the ranks with the great names of the academic resurgence amongst evangelical scholars like Carl Henry, Kenneth Conser, E.J. Carnell, all these folks that I read about as a new Christian and wanted to learn more about, and I did, and I have, and Van Til. Right, and so all these great, great folk. And Gerstner went to Harvard, and he did his work on, broadly speaking, Scottish common sense realism, and specifically the work of James McCosh, who was a Scottish Presbyterian minister and president of Princeton back about the time James McCosh came to Princeton at the same time that B.B. Warfield entered into his studies at Princeton, what is now Princeton University. And McCosh was an advocate of this school of philosophy called Scottish Common Sense Realism. Now, Scottish Common Sense Realism is a reaction to idealism, and it's also a reaction to David Hume's form of, I would call it, skeptical empiricism. Idealism as a philosophical school goes all the way back to Plato, and the concept, I can't even get away from the use of words that are similar, the idea of forms, patterns. You know, you may be sitting at a table. It's not a perfect table. It's one particular instance of a table. But it does exist in another dimension, in the realm of forms, the perfect table, or the pattern of the perfect table. Okay, that's a form of idealism. But specifically, Edwards embraces what I would call Trinitarian theistic idealism. And in his day, it had the sense of building on, although not being slavish to, John Locke, the British philosopher. And also, Edwards has some similarity to the Bishop George Berkeley. If you read his name in print, it looks like Berkeley, but it's pronounced Barkley. And specifically, the idea of what is real is what is perceived, or to be is to be perceived. You know the question, if a tree falls in a forest and there's no one there to hear it, does it make a sound?
Right.
That's an idealism question. Only an idealist would really, or someone who's familiar with idealism would appreciate that question.
That sounds like a philosopher's question rather than a theologian.
And my response is, yes, it makes a sound because God is there.
Amen.
Right? I mean, that's, I think, how Edwards would answer. But anyways, getting back to the larger question, is Edwards is challenging in his day, and it's partially in defense, although not only in defense of the Great Awakening, but he's defending the idea that true Christianity involves the whole person. Intellect, will, and if you include the emotions as distinct from the will, he didn't. He follows in a grand tradition of thinking of the human soul as having the intellect and the will, and the emotions are simply vigorous actions of the will. That's his understanding. So I hope just from all of this that I've said, you can kind of get a sense of how this would connect with apologetics. If you think that the human, the fallen human being, is someone whose intellect and will are equally fallen, but in different ways reflective of how God has made the intellect as over against the will, the intellect is the means whereby we understand, the will is the means whereby we are attracted to or repulsed from something. Okay, and so... Edwards would say that a human being, whether created or fallen or restored or in the consummation, a human being does not have inside himself little critters running around who are miniature people. Sometimes, and this is one of the caricatures that John Locke makes in his essay, his treatise on human understanding, that the faculties, the understanding of faculties in the philosophy of Edwards' day and Locke's day before that, often treated the intellect as over against the will, as over against the emotions, as if there were three people battling it out for supremacy in the human soul. And that doesn't square with Scripture, is basically Edwards' point. So that anybody that argues for the absolute primacy of the intellect or the absolute primacy of the will, and there is disputes in the history of the Christian church. One movement is called intellectualism and is manifested in the work of Thomas Aquinas. And then there's voluntarism, which is the primacy of the will, and that's exemplified in the work of Duns Scotus. It just happens to be two major medieval theologians, and this was a big debate in the Middle Ages, and it still is carried on today, believe it or not.
Well, we have to go to a break, and I want to read you a question that has a lot to do with what you're talking about, actually. And then I'm going to have you answer the question when we return from the break. And by the way, when we're on this break, this is our long 12-minute midway break that we have to have that length because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, who broadcasts this program a day after the live airing of it, they require a 12-minute break because they air their own commercials and public service announcements and things. So I would strongly urge you to mute your microphone because that's a long time to not be able to make any noise. And I'm sure whether they are voluntarily or involuntarily made, those noises will be heard from by our listeners.
But
Jennifer in Gardnerville, Nevada, says, how would you compare Jonathan Edwards' apologetic methodology to others such as Van Til, Gordon Clark, Francis Schaeffer, or Edward Carnell? And in your opinion, whose apologetic was most consistent with a biblical anthropology? Very, very wise question from a very learned woman.
which I have an opinion.
And we will have you, and I'm going to forward you her email so you can have it right in front of you, and you can answer that when we return. If anybody else would like to join us on the air, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us a first name, a city and state, and country of residence where you live outside, if you live outside of the USA. And please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. I will allow people to have pastoral questions for our guest since Dr. Waddington is a pastor, so you can ask off-topic since we are talking about Edwards, but I'm not going to restrict anyone from asking a pastoral question. So I can understand a pastoral question being requested to remain anonymous. But otherwise, please give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence. If you live outside the USA, don't go away. God willing, we will be right back after these messages with more of Dr. Jeffrey C. Waddington and the Unified Operations of the Human Soul, Jonathan Edwards, Theological Anthropology and Apologetic.
Have you been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? We remain on the air because of our faithful sponsors and because of listeners like you. There are four ways you can help. First, do you know potential sponsors who may wish to advertise their goods or services on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? Second, whenever possible, purchase the products or use the services that our sponsors advertise. And then let them know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Thirdly, you can also donate to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio by going to our website at ironsharpensironradio.com and click support at the top of the page. But most importantly, keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in your prayers. We hope that Iron Sharpens Iron Radio blesses you for many years to come.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is sponsored by Harvey Cedars, a year-round Bible conference and retreat center nestled on the Jersey Shore. Harvey Cedars offers a wide range of accommodations to suit groups up to 400. For generations, Christians have enjoyed gathering and growing at Harvey Cedars. Each year, thousands of high school and college students come and learn more about God's Word. An additional 9,000 come annually to Harvey Cedars as families, couples, singles, men, women, pastors, seniors, and missionaries. 90 miles from New York City, 70 miles from Philly, and 95 miles from Wilmington, and easily accessible, scores of notable Christian groups frequently plan conferences at Harvey Cedars, like the Navigators, InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, Campus Crusade, and the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals. Find Harvey Cedars on Facebook or at hcbible.org, hcbible.org. Call 609-494-5689, 609-494-5689. Harvey Cedars, where Christ finds people and changes lives.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981, 717-697-1981, or visit solidrockremodeling.com. That's solidrockremodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
Thrivent Financial is not your typical financial services provider. As a membership organization, we help Christians be wise with money and live generously every day. And for the fourth year in a row, we were named one of the world's most ethical companies by the Ethisphere Institute, a leading international think tank dedicated to the creation, advancement, and sharing of best practices in business ethics. Contact me, Mike Gallagher, financial consultant, at 717-254-6433. Again, 717-254-6433 to learn more about the Thrivent Difference.
We know we were made for so much more than ordinary life.
Blending faith, finances, and generosity. That's the Thrivent story.
We were made to thrive.
Chef Exclusive Catering is in South Central Pennsylvania. Chef Exclusive's goal is to provide a dining experience that is sure to please any palate. Chef Damian White of Chef Exclusive is a graduate of the renowned Johnson & Wales University with a degree in culinary arts and applied science. Chef Exclusive Catering's event center is newly designed with elegance and style and is available for small office gatherings, bridal showers, engagement parties, and rehearsal dinners. Critics and guests alike acknowledge Chef Exclusive's commitment to exceeding even the highest expectations. I know of their quality firsthand since Chef Exclusive catered my most recent Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastor's Luncheon. For details, call 717-388-3000. That's 717-388-3000. Or visit chefexclusive.com. That's chefexclusive.com.
Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." Hi, I'm Mark Lukens, pastor of Providence Baptist Church. We are a Reformed Baptist church, and we hold to the London Baptist Confession of Faith of 1689. We are in Norfolk, Massachusetts. We strive to reflect Paul's mindset to be much more concerned with how God views what we say and what we do than how men view these things. That's not the best recipe for popularity, but since that wasn't the apostles' priority, it must not be ours either. We believe, by God's grace, that we are called to demonstrate love and compassion to our fellow man, and to be vessels of Christ's mercy to a lost and hurting community around us, and to build up the body of Christ in truth and love. If you live near Norfolk, Massachusetts, or plan to visit our area, please come and join us for worship and fellowship. You can call us at 508-528-5750, that's 508-528-5750, or go to our website to email us, listen to past sermons, worship songs, or watch our TV program entitled Resting in Grace. You can find us at Providence Baptist Church, ma.org, that's Providence Baptist Church, ma.org, or even on sermonaudio.com. Providence Baptist Church is delighted to sponsor Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, inviting you to tune in to A Visit to the Pastor's Study every Saturday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time on WLIE Radio, www.wlie540am.com. We bring biblically faithful pastoral ministry to you, and we invite you to visit the pastor's study by calling in with your questions. Our time will be lively, useful, and I assure you, never dull. Join us this Saturday at 12 noon Eastern Time for a visit to the pastor's study, because everyone needs a pastor.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And if you listen to that or obey that command to tell Todd and Patty Jennings, owners of cvbbs.com, to mention Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, if you purchase $50 or more worth of merchandise from them and mention this program, you will receive absolutely free of charge Prayerful and Powerful Pulpits by E.M. Bounds. That's Prayerful and Powerful Pulpits by E.M. Bounds. Absolutely free when you purchase $50 or more worth of merchandise. And you will also get free shipping on everything that you purchase. And you could do so at cvbbs.com, obviously. But you could also call them toll-free between 10 a.m. Eastern Time and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time most days, Monday through Friday, at 800-656-0231. 800-656-0231. If you call and no one answers, there is no voicemail on that line. So just call back the next day. If it's a weekday that you're calling, within those hours, 10 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Eastern. Or, as I said before, you could order 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year at cvbbs.com, and always mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I return to my guest, Dr. Jeffrey C. Waddington, to discuss not only the unified operations of the human soul, Jonathan Edwards' Theological Anthropology and Apologetic, and also announcing the Jonathan Edwards Encyclopedia, before we return to that discussion, just have a couple of announcements to make. First of all, I hope that as many of you as humanly possible can attend the G3 conference with me in January of 2019. I love this conference, and I am so delighted to be there. It has been very indescribably valuable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, in regard to the number of people who have discovered my program, since I do have an exhibitor's booth there on site at this conference. They're expecting over 4,000 people to be in attendance in 2019. And I conduct on-site interviews and give away flyers and Bibles and all kinds of things while I'm there. And it has been not only a joy, but it has been extremely valuable to the show in gaining new listeners and guests and sponsors. And also, it's been a joy to me and an encouragement to me to keep pressing forward doing the show, because I meet dozens and dozens and dozens of people there who listen to the show and tell me how much they love listening, people that I've never even met or heard from before. If you want to attend, the conference is January 17th through January 19th. That is Thursday, January 17th through Saturday, January 19th at the Georgia International Convention Center in College Park, Georgia, which is a suburb of Atlanta. And this is going to be another magnificent conference with a phenomenal lineup of guests. I am so looking forward to this. You have no idea how much I'm looking forward to this this conference. Paul Washer will be there, God willing. John Piper, David Platt, Stephen Lawson, Vody Balcom, Mark Dever, Conrad Mbewe, Tim Challies, Phil Johnson, Josh Bice, and Todd Friel, and Jeremy Volo, and Don Curran, and Owen Strachan, and others are on this roster. It's very long. If you'd like to go, if you'd like to register, go to g3conference.com, g3conference.com. Click on events, and then click on G3 Conference 2019. And I think actually you just go directly to G3 2019, and you will find out more information on how to register. Please, please tell them that you heard about this conference from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Last but not least, the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio program is in urgent need of your financial support. It's one of those really hyper-urgent times where, unfortunately, our rent is due for where this studio is today, and I cannot pay it. I have got to pay the rent late, and I'm embarrassed by that, but these things happen. Please, if you love the show, you don't want it to go off the air, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now, and you can donate instantly through a debit or credit card. And you can also mail in checks the old-fashioned way. When you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, and a mailing address, a physical snail mail address, will appear there as well, and you can send checks the old-fashioned way made out to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And never take money away from your regular giving that you're accustomed to your local church where you're a member. If you're not a member of a local Bible-believing church and not prayerfully seeking one, you've got to find one, and I can help you find one. And another person has just emailed me today, actually it was yesterday, a woman who found a solid Bible-believing church pastored by Sam Waldron. She found out about that congregation through me, and so if you need help finding a church, I will help you find one. I have lists of churches that are biblically faithful all over the world. But never siphon money away from your giving to those churches if you are a member of a solid Bible-believing church, and join one if you're not. And please never siphon money away from your family's necessary expenditures. Never take food off of your family's dinner table or put your family in financial jeopardy. Providing for your church and home are essentials. They are commands of God. Providing for my show may not be a command of God, but if you love the show and you are blessed financially above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands I mentioned, then please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, and click to donate now or mail in a check. If you love the show and you don't want it to go away, you don't want it to disappear forever, please help us out. And if you want to advertise with us, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put advertising in the subject line, whatever it is that you want to advertise, whether it's your church, parachurch, organization, your business, your professional practice, or just a special event that you want to advertise. As long as whatever it is you want to advertise is compatible with the theology we express here, We would love to help you launch an ad campaign because we surely could use the advertising dollars. And you don't have to believe exactly as I do. You just need to be promoting something that is compatible with what we promote here as in regard to theology and doctrine on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. That's also the email address where you can send a question to Dr. Jeffrey Waddington. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. And please give us your first name, city and state and country of residence if you live outside of the good old USA. And we have some questions. In fact, one of them, as you know, Dr. Waddington, I sent you a question before the break, and unfortunately, I accidentally deleted my questions that I have up here, but hold on a second, I'll get it back. And while I am doing that, I'll just repeat our email address. It's chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and please give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence. And now I have to enlarge the question from Jennifer from Gardnerville, Nevada, so I can read it because I'm going blind. And the question says, how would you compare Jonathan Edwards' apologetic methodology to others such as Van Til, Gordon Clark, Francis Schaeffer, or Edward Carnell? And in your opinion, whose apologetic was most consistent with a biblical anthropology?
Well, that's a detailed question. I am a Vantillian in terms of my approach to apologetics. So that's, as I consider Edwards, my perspective is that Van Til offers the best, most biblical, confessionally reformed, consistent form of apologetic. That doesn't mean I can't learn from others with whom I have differences. Now, Jennifer asked specifically, how does Edwards compare to Van Til and Gordon Clark, Francis Schaeffer, and E.J. or Edward Carnell? Understandably, Edwards was a reformed pastor theologian, pastor apologist, so there are going to be points of contact, points of similarity. It's interesting that Ava Chamberlain, who as far as I know is not a believer, she's one of the editors of the 26-volume Yale edition of the works of Edwards, she says that Edwards argued for belief in the biblical God from the perspective of the truth of that doctrine. In other words, he argued from belief in the biblical triune God and not to it, which is typically the classical method. In my book, I describe the classical method, which would be advocated by someone like B.B. Warfield and John Gerstner and R.C. Sproul. The others that Jennifer asks about are actually Clark, Schaeffer, and Carnell are variations of what has historically been called presuppositional apologetic. That designation is not particularly helpful. In more recent days, the expression covenantal apologetic has been adopted, and for lack of anything better at this point, that's what I go with. Gordon Clark Van Til is often considered a revelational presuppositionalist, and Clark and Schaeffer and Carnell are varieties of rational presuppositionalist. Edwards is none of those. I'd say, depending on what you're reading, he could look like Clark or Schaeffer or Carnell or Gerstner or Van Til. He's eclectic. He historically predates the hard and fast distinctions we make between various schools of the ways of doing apologetics: evidentialism, classical, presuppositional or covenantal apologetics, reformed epistemology, and cumulative case. Those are the standard forms of doing apologetics, and they obviously share many things in common. But Edwards comes before the watershed of Immanuel Kant and G.F.W. Hegel, two relatively well-known German idealist philosophers, who, by the way, are also key to the rise of postmodernism. But that's another subject for a different day. So Edwards, insofar as he's arguing for the unified operations of the human soul, whether it be considered as fallen, that is, every aspect of human nature is fallen. It's not as if the intellect is somehow exempt from the fall. It's not as if the will is somehow exempt from the fall. The professors at Old Princeton, the early ones, Samuel Miller and Archibald Alexander, embodied Edwards' view, by the way. They shared the same view, as did Warfield and as did Old Princeton as a whole. Their anthropology, I would argue their apologetic didn't always match their understanding of the human soul, but they all understood the human soul as being not a hierarchical structure of intellect, will, and emotions, but that they were all equally created good, equally fallen in the fall, equally being restored in salvation and specifically in sanctification, and then will one day be glorified. And that affects how we do apologetics. We don't assume that an intellectual argument by itself will win a person. It takes the Holy Spirit to do that. And Edwards will say that over and over again. So, and that's the short answer to the question. So he looks like each one of those apologists at different points. But I'd say he's his own guy, insofar as he reflects his era. There'll be much in common with Van Til, and you would have to be familiar with the whole development of Reformed theology and what's now called Reformed scholasticism for me to fill out the details.
Well, thank you, Jennifer. Excuse me? What was that about?
No, I just did a long answer to a relatively short question.
Oh, okay. Well, it wasn't that short of a question, actually. I think the depth of the question required the response that you gave. thank you, Jennifer, in Gardnerville, Nevada. Please give us your full mailing address there in Gardnerville so we can mail you a free copy of the book, The Unified Operations of the Human Soul, Jonathan Edwards, Theological Anthropology and Apologetic, that have been very generously contributed to us by the publisher. So please make sure you get us your full mailing address so we can have cvbbs.com ship that out to you. Our sponsors, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com, will put that in the mail to you at no charge to you or to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And we thank Todd and Patty Jennings once again for providing us with free shipping on all the books, Bibles, and other bits of merchandise that they ship out to our listeners who submit questions. They do that at no charge to us or to our listeners, and we thank Todd and Patty Jennings, owner of CVBBS.com, for doing that. And we have Gordy in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania, who says, R.C. Sproul considered Jonathan Edwards' Freedom of the Will the greatest piece of American literature ever published. Would you agree with his assertion? And given the difficulty of reading much of Edwards' writings, would Luther's Bondage of the Will be more digestible for the average reader?
I would say Freedom of the Will is it took me two or three readings before I finally, you know, it clicked. Bondage of the Will, I think you would get in your first pass. Luther, as anyone who's familiar with Luther, his life and his writing style is very energetic. Both books are actually they're a debate with other people. Luther, of course, is debating Erasmus, the Dutch humanist, Roman Catholic priest and humanist scholar. Bondage of the Will by Luther is just a wonderful book in its own right. Freedom of the Will is much more philosophical, different style. But I would say Freedom of the Will is one of those books that is iconic and is ignored more than it's addressed. That's my, and although it is being being addressed recently, because there are people, for instance, Richard Muller, the great scholar at Calvin Theological Seminary in Grand Rapids, has given a lecture that I think you can find online at the Jonathan Edwards Center at Trinity Evangelical Divinity School, where he says that Edwards' view of the freedom of the will is different from the classical Reformed understanding. It would take a lot of time to explain all of that. And there's been a full book published by someone following in his footsteps. So it'll be interesting to see what influence that may have in the assessment of Edwards. But Freedom of the Will is an iconic book. But yeah, to answer the question, Luther would be probably, for the average person in the pew, if there is such a person, would be, I'd say both, but start with Luther and then go to Edwards.
Well, thank you, Gordy. And since you live in Mechanicsburg, why don't you swing by Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service on North Hanover Street in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, since it's only probably 10 minutes away from you. Why don't you swing by there on Monday and pick up your free copy of The Unified Operations of the Human Soul by our guest Jeffrey C. Waddington. They do not have them there yet. In fact, they're already closed by now anyway, so you'll have to go by Monday to get that. Thanks a lot for contributing a great question. Let's see. Oh, by the way, we have a questioner that asks of you something that you are just hinting at, so you will have an opportunity.
Oh, okay.
We have RJ in White Plains, New York. RJ says, about a year or so ago, you interviewed Walt Chantry, the very well-known and beloved Reformed Baptist, one of the pioneers of Reformed Baptist thinking in the United States in the mid-20th century. And he said during your interview that he radically disagreed with Jonathan Edwards' understanding of the freedom of the human will. In fact, laid partially the blame for the spread of Arminianism in the United States to this view. Can your guest please explain what Pastor Walt Chantry was speaking about, and whether or not he agrees or disagrees with Pastor Chantry's assertion? And by the way, Pastor Walt Chantry was the second or third pastor of the church where I am a member, and he was there the longest period of time, having served there for 40 years. But of course, that doesn't mean that you have to agree with everything that he says or writes, just because he was an iconic, or is an iconic, figure amongst Reformed Baptists. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, I don't know why he in particular would reject Edwards. Do you remember, Chris?
Well, he didn't really go into the issue at depth, from what I recall. It was quite a while ago. It may have been 2 years ago. I do remember him saying, though, that he did lay a part of the blame to the switch over, if you will, from Calvinism being a dominant view amongst Protestants to becoming a minority view. He laid partially the blame for that, in his opinion, to Jonathan Edwards' understanding of the freedom of the will, which he seemed to link more with something compatible with Arminianism, but he didn't go into great depth about it.
Yeah, if it was, it's not compatible with Arminianism at all. In fact, that's what it's arguing against. If I could,
if you could include in your answer, why would he come to that conclusion? Or when also others come to that conclusion?
I don't know anybody. That's the first time I've ever heard someone actually attribute the rise of Arminianism to Edwards' freedom of the will, when I would say it was the busyness of evangelism on the part of free will Baptists and Methodists, you know, circuit riders riding from town to town, not requiring the level of education that typically Reformed, whether they be Baptist or Presbyterian or you know, Continental Reformed, require. So that is a multifaceted, complex issue. I can tell you that there are some of the issues that come into play would be whether Edwards believed in the distinction between creation and providence, or primary and secondary causality. So there are plenty of things that I might pick at bones with Edwards were he alive here and able to talk with me, with us on the program. But I think the larger argument that Edwards makes in Freedom of the Will has never been refuted. And with all due respect to the great, Richard Muller, I don't think what he's done refutes it either. In fact, there's a fair bit of scholarship that I have on my computer, which undermines his whole argument. But that's perhaps if we want to do a follow-up program at some time, we could address that. But I suppose what Reverend Chantry might have been talking about would be the fact that the followers of Edwards, the ostensible followers of Edwards, sometimes referred to as the New Divinity or New England Theology, they did veer toward Arminianism, but not in the sense of being followers of Arminius, but being not Calvinistic. Something like when we watch the news and we're seeing something about the Middle East, and they talk about Christians and Muslims, and when they say Christians, what they mean is not Muslim, or not Hindu, or not Buddhist. It's not referring to their spiritual condition.
Right. Just like in Great Britain, Christian really just meant you were an Englishman.
Right, exactly. And so in this case, there were followers, so-called followers of Edwards, who ended up teaching the exact opposite of what Edwards believed. And the Edwards writing, not only in Freedom of the Will, but his book on original sin and religious affections and the end for which God created the world and the nature of true virtue. These are all interwoven. They form a cohesive whole. And I'd be curious, maybe you can act as an intermediary, Chris. Is Reverend Chantry still alive?
Yes, he is.
Okay. Ask him ask him what he meant.
Well, in fact, I would love to have you on the program with him, perhaps.
No, that would be fine, because I would be curious as to what he was getting.
All right, let me just say something that, and I could be totally off base here, but perhaps you could just flesh out what is like wandering through the sewers of my mind here. I seem to recall that there was some disagreement that Edwards had with some other Reformed believers about the will over the ability issue.
Oh, yeah, moral versus natural ability.
Yeah, like, for instance, you know, in Romans 8, where it's clearly stated that because the mind is set on the flesh, it is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. I've thought that I remember hearing that Edwards took more of a view regarding the affections of non-believers not being conducive to coming to Christ rather than an inability, but I might be wrong on that. If you could just...
Well, he would not... But he wouldn't distinguish in the two ways that you've talked about it. He would say that those sweetly comply. In other words, when he talked about not that we lack natural, that the unbeliever, the fallen sinner, doesn't lack natural ability, but lacks moral ability. Now, for him, understand that moral and natural, one is not less absolute than the other. So to say that something is morally so, in other words, the intellect still functions, even though in the fallen sinner, right? Not the way it was meant to. In other words, we are created to, you know, as the Westminster Shorter and Larger Catechism put it, to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever, right? And so the highest thing that the human intellect can do is worship God and to glorify Him and to enjoy fellowship with Him. And when a human being is not doing that, then the purpose for which God created him is not being fulfilled.
Now, just a few moments ago, you had mentioned that there were some that thought that Edwards had a different approach to the human will than other Reformed theologians. What were you talking about?
Richard Muller says that that Edwards' view departs from the classic Reformed view, which distinguishes between primary and secondary causality, necessity and contingency. In fact, he does not differ from that. Dr. Muller is a brilliant man, and we owe so much to him in terms of learning about Reformed scholasticism. That is, the period, those theologians who came after the Reformers up until about the time of the Westminster Divines shortly thereafter. That period of time of development of Reformed doctrine is referred to as Reformed scholasticism, and the Westminster Standards and the London Baptist Confession all are examples of Reformed scholasticism. Okay, so and Edwards has inherited that, and if you cherry pick a writer, you're bound to be able to create a Frankenstein quite easily.
Now, do you think that could be where? As I said, I better have Walt back on the show.
Yeah, I'm not accusing him of that. I do think that Dr. Muller was reading portions of Edwards and not the whole thing, and so he made some accusations that Edwards denied secondary causality, basically. It's the common view that Edwards held to both occasionalism and continuous creationism. Seeing as we're in this quagmire, we might as well make the most of it. Edwards' continuous creationism is the idea that God recreates the world, the universe, every moment. Okay. And occasionalism is the view that God is the only agent, active agent in the universe. You can see how those two doctrines, if Edwards held them, and if he did, and that's debated. See, that's everything is debated in scholarly circles. But that those two issues are debated, or at least the nature, if he held those views, the nature of them. But you can see how that would undermine the distinction between creation and providence. He would simply say, well, what's the difference between creation and providence? The creation is the first instance, and providence is the second, third, fourth, and fifth, and so on. But Edwards does not deny secondary causality. Okay, that's where I think Richard Muller runs afoul of his understanding of his presentation. His lecture is actually about 19th century reception of Edwards' freedom of the will in Scotland, of all things. So it's a bit indirect. He's actually dealing with William Cunningham and his acceptance of Edwards' freedom of the will.
All right. Well,
so anyway, it would be great to talk with Reverend Chantry and find out exactly what he had in mind. I don't know. I've not met any Arminian who ever accredited Jonathan Edwards' freedom of the will.
Becoming
an Arminian.
I don't think that an Arminian might necessarily do that himself. I'm just saying that Walt was. Looking at the big picture, he seemed to come to that conclusion, and he did have some negative feedback from fellow Reformed Baptists on that. But also, Arminians, though, as you know, and please forgive me if you think I'm broad brushing, I don't mean to, but many Arminians, let me put it that way, do, as you were saying, cherry pick the greatest heroes of Calvinism and try to make Arminians out of them very often. Like Charles Spurgeon is the greatest example of all, of course.
Yeah, I mean, which is laughable. If you're familiar, in depth familiar with someone like Charles Spurgeon or Jonathan Edwards, again, these are not perfect men, and they're not always consistent with themselves, let alone with the Word of God and the confessional heritage that we have. But So that's an interesting question. I would say freedom of the will. The argument itself is basically that there is no such thing as an unmotivated act of the will.
All right, we're going to our final break right now. In fact, let me just read a brief question here from another listener. We have Pastor David Bissett from Clifton Park, New York, who says, I met you at the Banner of Truth conference this week. Thought you resembled John Marshall of the UK, and I will have to find out what John Marshall looks like so I can know whether or not I should be insulted by that. He says, great to finally get the chance to listen to the show online while catching up on my office here in upstate New York. Enjoying your guest, Dr. Jeffrey C. Waddington, as well. Sorry, no question at present. Oh, okay. Well, Pastor Bissett, if you have a question, please submit one before we run out of time.
I should say, Chris, before you jump, is that I grew up in the Albany, New York area, and Clifton Park is just north of that, below Saratoga. So I'm familiar with that neck of the woods.
Great. Send us a question, Pastor Bissett. And let me, in fact, give a plug to Clifton Park Community Church there in upstate New York. The website is cliftonparkcommunitychurch.org. That's cliftonparkcommunitychurch.org. I always like to plug a good, solid Reformed church when I get an on-air question or comment from a pastor. We're going to our final break right now, and if you'd like to join us, email us at chrisarnson@gmail.com. ChrisArnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back, God willing, after these messages from our sponsors.
Tired of box store Christianity? Of doing church in a warehouse with all the trappings of a rock concert? Do you long for a more traditional and reverent style of worship? And how about the preaching? Perhaps you begin to think that in-depth biblical exposition has vanished from Long Island. Well, there's good news. Wading River Baptist Church exists to provide believers with a meaningful and reverent worship experience, featuring the systematic exposition of God's Word. And this loving congregation looks forward to meeting you. Call them at 631-929-3512 for service times. 631-929-3512. Or check out their website at wrbc.us. That's wrbc.us.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. The New American Standard Bible is perfect for daily reading or in-depth study. Used by pastors, scholars, and everyday readers, the NASB is widely embraced and trusted as a literal and readable Bible translation. The NASB offers clarity and readability while maintaining high accuracy in the original languages, which the NASB is known for. The NASB is available in many editions like a topical reference Bible. Researched and prepared by biblical scholars devoted to accuracy, the new topical reference Bible includes contemporary topics relevant to today's issues. From compact to giant print Bibles, find an NASB that fits your needs very affordably at nasbible.com. Whichever edition you choose, trust, discover, and enjoy the NASB for yourself today. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Paul Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors,
roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed, professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981, 717-697-1981, or visit solidrockremodeling.com. That's solidrockremodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you just tuned us in, our guest has been for the last 90 minutes or more, Dr. Jeffrey C. Waddington, who is going to be our guest for another 20 minutes or approximately. We are now discussing the Jonathan Edwards Encyclopedia, edited by Harry S. Stout. And if you'd like to join us, please send an email immediately because we're rapidly running out of time. ChrisArnzen@gmail.com. ChrisArnzen@gmail.com. Tell us about this enormous volume, the Jonathan Edwards Encyclopedia. It is over 614 pages long. Tell us about it.
Sure. This came out, I believe, last December, so it's been out for a few months. It is unique in that it was created by, I guess, what we call crowdsourcing. In other words, the Jonathan Edwards Center at Yale University, which is the center that handles the Yale edition of Edwards works. That's a Harry Stout is the general editor for the Yale edition of the works of Edwards. Adrian Neal is a professor, among other places, at Puritan Reformed Theological Seminary in Grand Rapids that we talked about earlier. An expert on Reformed Scholasticism that I mentioned. So this was emails were sent out to those in the Edwards scholarly community about the desire to put together an encyclopedia, and so they had a list of some, I think it was 2,000 or so subjects, and we, those of us who were interested, had to sign up for a particular topic, and we were given a deadline for when those topics entries had to be. We were given a word count, and that word. And then some articles were longer than others. They had long, medium, and short, basically, depending on the subject matter. And so over a period of 2 or 3 years or whatever the length of time was, they finally gathered all of those together. And this volume, it's alphabetical, and it covers pretty much everything related to Edwards in terms of theology, biblical studies, political situations, theological and philosophical trends, science, everything that would be relevant to the study of Edwards in one place. It's a one-stop shopping experience, if I can put it that way. And I had the privilege of contributing 4 of the entries. They were all 1.5-2 page length articles on Calvinism, the history of the work of redemption, on the mind and the will. As you can see, those were related to various interests that I have with regard to Edwards.
Yeah, this looks like it's a must-have for every pastor, especially.
Go ahead. It's, as I said, the one-stop shopping experience. So it's the there are 2 other books that have been similar, but I think it can be said that this is the most comprehensive, and that's why it's called an encyclopedia. It covers everything that, in other words, if you were wanting to introduce someone to the thought of Edwards, and that you knew that they were really serious about it, this would be the book that I would recommend they turn to. And they're short. They're brief, as you can see, Chris, if you've got a copy, and I think you do. You see that the entries are not long.
Yes. Well, we have a listener in Hilltop Lakes, Texas. Linda Dear Chris, Jonathan Edwards is esteemed by the Reformed community as America's greatest theologian. However, by and large, Reformed people no longer hold to his eschatology. Edwards stated he believed that the Great Awakening of the 1740s was a prelude to that glorious work of God so often foretold in Scripture. Edwards was the first to clearly articulate a post-millennial eschatology, even if not by name. It seems that other Puritans and Reformers held this optimistic eschatology. The Civil War and World Wars I and II burst the bubble for many, but God's word should be filtered through our experience. We have the actual question that she has for you. Does your research, meaning you, Dr. Waddington, on Jonathan Edwards confirm that he, Edwards, in fact, was postmillennial? And do you think the renewed interest in the writings of Jonathan Edwards and other Puritans is bringing about a renewed interest in his eschatology?
Wow, those are good questions. I, for the longest time, thought that Jonathan Edwards was a pure postmillennialist. That's the designation that the world is getting increasingly Christianized until the Lord comes back. That's what postmillennialism means primarily. And more recently, more details have been filled in terms of the background behind Edwards' view, the development of what I would call a postmillennialism with some premillennial flavor, spices thrown in. That's how I would describe it. And there's a connection with a gentleman by the name of Joseph Mead, and he taught at either Oxford or Cambridge, I forget right now. And he was a well-known commentator on eschatology, Book of Revelation, etc. Became very influential amongst independents in the UK, and then that came over to the colonies. I myself am an amillennialist, or I would prefer to call it present reign millennialist. Whether Edwards' views, renewed interest in Edwards generally, is contributing to a post-millennial eschatology, I don't see that. And probably the one area where people disagree with him who do like Edwards, this would be the one area where there's a consistent disagreement with him. And, of course, it's related to the whole question of whether the Great Awakening was, in fact, a precursor to the coming in of the kingdom, the Christianization and that's all tied into what we call American exceptionalism. See, there's and of course that's an issue debated today, isn't it?
Yes.
Is America exceptional? Well, that very question is built upon for instance, Edwards' notion of the role of America. Now remember, for Edwards is British. He sees himself as a citizen of the king, as a loyal citizen. Now the question is, would he have supported the revolution had he lived long enough to see it? That's an interesting question. It's pure speculation. He did interact with the political leaders in Massachusetts. He had regularly corresponded with the governor, with the secretary, what we would call the state secretary of the Commonwealth, the colony, et cetera. So he knew the movers and shakers in the political realm in his day.
Being called the last Puritan, I'm assuming he would have had his radical opposition in some ways to the state church of England.
Oh, certainly he was not an Anglican by any stretch, nor a Roman Catholic. I mean, those things are pretty straightforward in Edwards. He is a Congregationalist, although he
not to be confused with modern day Congregationalism, which although there are excellent Savoy Declaration loving Congregationalists today, they are very rare, and most of them are totally apostate in the United Church of Christ.
The he ended up being president of Princeton, which was a Presbyterian institution. And he said, you know, after his deposition from the pulpit in Northampton, getting kicked out, he said, you know, I actually kind of like that Presbyterian form of government as opposed to the chaotic stuff we have in New England. And of course, that I'm sure was highly colored by his experience of being let go from the ministry in Northampton, Massachusetts. I was going to say, Chris, the questions that I've been getting, reminds me of a poster that was on the door of the late Dr. Harvey Kahn, a professor of missions at Westminster, and it was a mock test. I often asked myself, is this a mock test in the sense of being, this is a pretend test, or is it mocking me? And it went like this, and here was the question. Give a history of the world from creation till now. Post-millennialism.
By the way, Jeff, are you there? Because you have to repeat everything you said because we lost connection temporarily.
Right.
Lost connection, and I apologize for that. It was my fault.
No, that's okay. I was just saying, you heard the part about the mock test, right?
That's the last thing I think I heard.
Oh, okay. Well, the mock test, the question was, give a brief history, or give a history of the world from creation till the present. Include every salient detail, relevant detail, but be concise.
Okay. Give every relevant detail, and then be concise.
Yeah, that's the question. That's how I feel answering these questions, because you could actually get a whole college level course or book out of each of these questions. You know, the answer. I mean, you could spit it out.
This is actually a compliment to our listeners, then.
Yeah, it really is. These have all been very good questions. This is where some of this would be answered in the encyclopedia. Now I should say about the encyclopedia is that because it's a mix, I know several of the contributors, they're friends of mine or acquaintances of mine, and I can speak to them, but it's not everybody who contributes is a Christian or professed Christian.
Right, just because that's the heart of the history on Edwards and the documented writings and history of Edwards is in Yale, which is largely an apostate university.
I mean, this is true with even John Calvin. All the great theologians, for some reason, are attractive to people who don't make any profession of faith. And very often when you read them, they've reduced what is a magnificent glimpse into the biblical teaching on whatever topic, and they reduce it to, I don't know, form, literary form. Like the sermons of Edwards are often studied for their literary contributions. Freedom of the will can be looked at as purely, you know, iconic in the sense of what was its influence in American culture. And that's why I said more ignored than debated. You know, mentioned in passing, not
right.
Really engaged.
Well, by the way, Linda in Hilltop Lakes, Texas, you have won. In fact, you're the only one that can win a free copy of the Jonathan Edwards Encyclopedia, which retails for $60. This is a hardback, gorgeous book. And because of the price, the retail price, Eerdmans only gave me two copies, one for me and one for a co-host, and my co-host did not show up today. He could not be here, even though he would love to be here. He could not be here, so you're getting his copy of the Edwards Encyclopedia, and I want to just, I know this may embarrass Linda from Hilltop Lake, Texas, although I've never met her in my life, never even spoken audibly with her. She and her husband were kind enough to pay the electric bill for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio not long ago. And I just cannot thank you and your husband, Glenn, enough for your generosity and your benevolence and your kindness and your encouragement, because you love this show so much. And make sure that we have your full mailing address in Hilltop Lakes, Texas, and you will receive this free over 600-page hardback encyclopedia, the Jonathan Edwards Encyclopedia, retailing for $60. It's yours free. Linda, thank you so much. Now we have an actual question. This is the last question we have time for. When I mean an actual question, I mean an actual question from Pastor David Bissett, who before didn't have a question. He was just saying hi, basically. And now he says, I love the Jonathan Edwards discussion. My question is, what is your, meaning Dr. Jeffrey C. Waddington, what is your estimation of the biography by Marsden?
Good question. I think it's probably the best thing out there. I remember,
this is a biography of Jonathan Edwards.
Yes, it came out in 2003, the 300th anniversary of Edwards' birth. There is a short one, a little one, A Short Life, I think it's called, the subtitle. This is the word, I believe he's probably talking about the full length, several hundred page biography, well written, well researched. I disagree with Dr. Marsden, of course, at points, but it's beautifully written. And I think it captures the essence of Edwards in his historical setting, which is what Dr. Marsden was trying to do. So he makes him understandable in his own context, is what I'm saying. And well written and easy, I think fairly easy to track with.
Well, we are out of time, and thank you so much, Pastor David J. Bissett. Please give us your full mailing address there in Clifton Park, New York, so we can mail you a free copy of the Unified Operations of the Human Soul, Jonathan Edwards, Theological Anthropology and Apologetic. And Dr. Jeffrey C. Waddington, can you please give our listeners the website for Knox Orthodox Presbyterian Church of Lansdowne, Pennsylvania?
Well, you would ask me that. I don't know it.
I have it.
You do have
Knox,
it.
Okay. Knox-Presbyterian.org, and that's KNOX-Presbyterian.org. And for those of you who want to listen to the Reformed Forum, as my pastor John Miller of Grace Baptist Church of Carlisle, Pennsylvania, does regularly, go to the reformedforum.org, reformedforum.org. And if you want to find out more about the Confessional Presbyterian Journal, go to cpjournal.com, cpjournal.com. Do you have any final words before we go off the air, brother?
Oh, just to say that I have been drawn to Jonathan Edwards because he heralds the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's not a time that I dip into Edwards that I don't almost always, I don't want to say always, but almost always come away with a greater appreciation of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And at the end of the day, that's the payoff.
Well, I am so delighted that you were able to be on the show today, even though there was a schedule, a mix-up between the two of us. And I look forward to the next time you being here in the studio so that we can actually share fellowship before and after the show.
Thank you for having me.
And I want you all to have a blessed and safe and joyful weekend and Lord's Day. And I hope you all always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.